and started the recorder. And Colossians chapter 2 in the Kindle is on page 357. So it should be near there in the book. Yeah. All right, so here we go. You are all things, and all things are you. You are the life that flows in and out of all things. You are the wisdom and knowledge that travels on the current of life, which moves through everything seen and unseen. In this way, you are absent from nothing, and nothing is disconnected from you. This is the process on which the law of love operates. It operates through the flow of life that is all things. So again, Colossians chapter 2 is starting by reminding us that we are not human. Right? Right now we may be experiencing ourselves as human, but we really are this life force itself, or isness itself. I often use that word. Verses 6 to 8. This is why you must watch your mind and ensure your faith sets firmly with your motive. Your mind communicates with all things through the flow of life that is your reality. It is not partial to the body that you think you are, for within its flow it is all things without partiality. It reads communication as it travels throughout spirit, and it delivers that which it is given through faith and desire. Now, one thing that's really cool about this paragraph is, you know, like if we all look at this object right here that I'm pointing at, we would all agree that this is a chair, right? Do you all agree with that? That's a chair? That's a chair? That's a chair? Well, the reason that we all see a chair is because of what this is talking about right here. Our thought that this is a chair is, you know, kind of traveling and manifesting the appearance of a chair. I once had a, I don't know what you call it, I guess I'll just call it a mystical experience. I once had a mystical experience where I experienced the Big Bang, except that the way I experienced the Big Bang was that it happens thousands of times per second. In other words, this reality that we perceive as constant is not constant. Kind of reminds me of a cartoon. Like a cartoon is really several different frames, but then it goes really, really fast and it looks like there's a constant motion in the character. Well, this world is the same thing, is what I got out of that mystical experience. This world is not constant. It comes and goes thousands of times per second. And when it comes in the way our mind, our joint mind, is forming it. And so we perceive that to be a chair. And so in multiple universes that will happen in this hour that we're together, it remains a chair. Because that's what we believe it to be. You know, and it kind of reminds me in the Bible when Jesus said, with the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Right? I mean, that's a literal statement. If we really understood who we were, all of us together, not one individual, but if we really understood who we were, everything could be rearranged all the time, because it isn't what it is. It is life. It is the flow of life. It is the life force. It is the current. And it's taking whatever form that's being communicated to it to take. Let me read this again and listen to what it says. Your mind communicates with all things through the flow of life that is your reality. It is not partial to the body that you think you are, for within its flow, it is all things without partiality. It reads communication as it travels throughout spirit, and it delivers that which it is given through faith and desire. So again, we have faith that that's a chair. That's really what's going on. We have faith that that's a chair, and so it remains a chair in manifestation. But it's actually isness, and it could take any form at all. And the chair doesn't need to be there in the next nanosecond universe, right? For this reason, let your mind be focused on that which you truly want, the motive you have set your mind on. For if your mind is set on distractions, the spirit answers the request for distraction, which it receives through the current that is truly you. So again, every universe, you know, every nanosecond of universe is a completely new universe. So there's no reason at all, no logical reason at all, why the next universe has to be like the previous universe. It only is because our thoughts don't change, because our thought system doesn't change. But if we were to focus ourselves differently, the world could change very, very rapidly, because literally it's a new universe every time, every you know, nanosecond again. So the universe doesn't have to stay in the way it is, meaning the wars don't have to stay, the hunger doesn't have to stay, the disease doesn't have to stay, the suffering doesn't have to stay. But it stays because we as humans keep playing the same game in the mind. We don't change. And again, one individual changing, when one individual changes, the total picture changes somewhat. But for the total picture to change radically, it would take a mass change of mind. It would take, what's that word, critical mass. A critical mass of the humans would have to have a change of mind for the world picture to change radically. But some people would argue, you know, we're getting closer and closer all the time to maybe having a critical mass if people change their mind. You know, more and more people are studying this type of spirituality through a lot of different forms, but more and more people are listening to this type of spirituality. Now, I think, and I could be wrong, and I'm willing to be wrong, I think most people are still just reading about and talking about this type of spirituality, but their thoughts are not really changing, right? And so, you know, we're not really that close to a critical mass. But people reading and talking about this kind of spirituality is a first step. You know, it moves us in the direction of maybe having people truly, truly practice the change of thought that it would take to have also a change of appearance. And so what this is saying is what we really want to do is we want to be a part of this up-and-coming critical mass. And so we want to learn to focus our mind on purpose throughout the day instead of being focused on our worries, focused on our pains, focused on our stories, focused on our regrets, focused on, you know, whatever else the ego has us focused on. We want to learn to disregard all of that. And every time we notice that we're focused on that, just say, oh, I see what I'm doing. And then gently, without judgment, bring myself back to center and focus on purpose again. And the more that we focus on purpose, the purpose of love, the purpose of awakening, the purpose of oneness, the more that we help generate that energy within the world, and the more that we assist in this upcoming critical mass shift. Because it's all connected. And every thought we think is literally communicated with everything else in the world. Verses 9 to 12. Although you do not seem to be aware of all experiences, you live all experiences because you are all elements of experience. This is why you are called one mind. All things that seem to happen, happen through you because you are the process of creation. Now this is something that, you know, a radical shift would have to happen within any of us to really see this. But we can begin to accept it even intellectually if we want to. You know, I can think of me as me and Danielle as Danielle and Priscilla as Priscilla and Dan as Dan. But if I start to realize that Danielle's happy experiences are my happy experiences, and her sad experiences are my sad experiences, and I start to be concerned about her, not in a worrisome way, but in a compassionate way, at that very, very level, that's going to create a deep, deep connection that's actually helpful toward awakening. So you don't want to be worried about people resolving their problems. That's not helpful. But you do want to be very compassionate and connect very much, you know, listen with the heart is the way I would describe it. Listen with the heart as they describe their experiences and be as connected to them as you can. And the more deeply you can connect to someone, the more closely you come to realizing the oneness that we are. Because you share in their experience through that connection. And the truth is, That, you know, they are who I am, right? And I am who they are. It's just I have the perception of separation. So I want to start reversing that by being as connected as I can be to people, the people that are in my life. Starting with sentence 4. Creation is made through communication, and the basis of all communication is faith plus desire. Or to state it more clearly, where there is passion, there is creation. Now, this is not using the word creation the same way A Course in Miracles does. This is referring to manifestation. This word refers to manifestation. And so it says, where there is passion, there is manifestation. Or we could say, where there's an awful lot of attention, there's manifestation. So if I spend a lot of my time focused on worrying about this and worrying about that and worrying about this, and worry is a fear energy, I'm really being very passionate about worry. I might not ever say, oh, I'm passionate about worry. But if that's where my attention is all the time, I am passionate about worry. And so that, again, that fear energy is going out and helping to paint the next universe and the next universe and the next universe. But not only that, anything that I send out also comes back to me, so I continue to experience that worry energy. So one thing we can start asking ourselves, again, when we notice that we're in the wrong mind, in whatever way we're in the wrong mind, whether it's with grievances, whether it's with worry, whether it's with self-hatred, we can really pause without judgment, notice the type of energy, I would say the type of energy that we're focused on, and then say, is this what I want to be passionate about? You know, I think that's a great word. Do I want to be passionate about worry? Do I want to be passionate about grievances? Do I? And if not, then shift the mind to what I do want to be passionate about. And you know, one thing that maybe all of us want to be passionate about is God. You know, and lately, I think you guys know, I've mentioned it a few times, I've been studying Sufism. And that's what the Sufis are really great at. They're great at being passionate about God, right? Just loving God with every fiber of their being.
Ecstatic,
yeah. So, you know, the Sufi in each of us would be very, very helpful to let that Sufi in each of us come out and just be passionate about God. Or if you can't be passionate about God, maybe you can be passionate about service to your brothers and sisters, right? I think Dan experiences passion about service, or at least you used to, right?
If people knew what selfless service, what can happen, I think more people would do it. But personally, I think that, and this is true for a lot of people, it's like a fast forward button, or it gets you going the fastest. I mean, by far, doing service work as opposed to sitting on a mat or another use of my time. It's absolutely, God, it's, you get the most bang for your buck.
Okay, so he's passionate about service. Another thing that a person could be passionate about, believe it or not, is watching awareness, watching awareness. You can be passionate about that, and people awaken through that. Nisargadatta said that his teacher told him to focus on the I am, and he would awaken. And he says, and he believed his teacher, and he focused exclusively on the I am, and in 3 years he woke up. So he was passionate about focusing on the I am. You can be passionate about trusting all things. No matter what happens, choosing to trust it. Or you can be passionate about accepting all things. Or in December, I took a vow of happiness. So you could say, I'm passionate about being happy unconditionally. No matter what happens, I choose happiness. So you can see there are some very healthy or some very wholesome things to be passionate about. But most of us are actually passionate about things that are not healthy or not wholesome, right? We're passionate about worry. We're passionate about fear. We're passionate about self-hatred or self-judgment. So we know how to be passionate. We don't have to learn how to be passionate. But what we might do is start, when we catch ourselves, start asking, is this what I want to be passionate about? And then if not, shift. Make a conscious decision to shift. And start focusing on that which I do want to be passionate about. Right? So what moves you? What moves you, and what do you really want? So again, creation is made through communication. And the basis of all communication is faith plus desire. Or to state it more clearly, where there is passion, there is creation. So you can see faith plus desire together equal passion. So like if I desire awakening, but I don't really have faith that that could happen to me, I'm not going to have passion about it, right? If I, you know. So, but when you have faith in service or faith in trust or faith in awareness, watching awareness, or faith in happiness, and you desire it, then you have passion. So faith plus desire equals passion. Verses 13 to 15. This is why I have asked you not to look at the world. When you look at the world and fear it with the passion of belief, fear travels through you to all things seen and unseen. Fear becomes a basis of communication because fear was put forth with faith and desire. And so without judgment or partiality, that which was put forth is shared. And that which is shared comes back to you just as you have put it out. Now what happened in, I can't remember if it was 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I think 2nd Corinthians, is, of course you have to remember this would be because of the spiritual maturity of the scribe, really. Because of the spiritual maturity of the scribe when she was writing 2nd Corinthians, she was told not to look at the world. And what that really means is don't watch the news at this period of time in your life. Because when you watch the news, you're getting all caught up in the news stories. You're getting all caught up in the story about the man who murdered his two 5-year-old twin daughters. You're getting all caught up in, you know, that's the only story I remember to this day. I know that was happening. I was all caught up in it. But there were other things that were going on, and I was really, you know, passionate that those things were wrong and shouldn't happen and needed to be corrected. And all of this was coming from fear. And so he's saying, you know, right now, since you don't have the spiritual maturity to look at that stuff without becoming passionate about fear in your mind, it's better that you don't even look at it right now. And as we go forward in NTI, we'll find at another point, he says, now go look at the world. Okay, because he feels that I have the maturity to look at it without becoming passionate about fear, that I can look at the world and remain passionate in love. But he's saying if there are certain things that you know trigger you, go ahead and stay away from those things. And it kind of reminds me when I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses, I thought it was a Bible scripture, but I haven't run across it since then, so I don't know for sure if it is or not. But when I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses as a child, one of the things they used to always say was, bad associations spoil useful habits. And of course, what we tried to do is we tried to only hang out with other witnesses, not hang out with what we called worldly people. But, you know, There's an element of truth to that. You know, if you are not spiritually mature enough and you hang around with people who are gossiping a lot, for example, you're likely to become involved in gossip, right? Or whatever your weakness is. If people are worrying about the economy, you're likely to become worried about the economy. So there's a period of time when our spiritual maturity is really not built up enough that we can just put ourselves in any situation and remain centered. And so at that point, what we need to do is we need to be mature enough to realize what situations we can put ourselves in and what situations maybe it's better for us not to put ourselves in for now. Because we really want to watch what we're being passionate about. And so lots of people on the spiritual path will, you know, in the beginning time, they're actually breaking relationships. I remember Jasmine, you know, I used to leave Jasmine sitting in front of the TV. And I would go in my room and I would read the course and contemplate the course. But a part of me felt guilty. And so I asked Holy Spirit about that. And I was told that what I was doing was fine because it was separation for the purpose of joining. And I was told that everyone goes through that phase where for a time you have to take yourself out of the family, out of the world, out of as much as you can. Everybody has limits. You may have to work. You may have to cook for your family. But you're looking for those opportunities to be alone so that you can contemplate and build up your spiritual mind. And if you just stay out in the world in the way you always have, chances are your thoughts are going to continue to be in the way they always have. So a physical, some type of physical change, whatever suits your life, you know, it's not going to be so disruptive that it's just wrong-minded. But there are gentle ways to make changes that suit your life, so that you can begin to change what you're passionate about from the inside out, from the inside out. Yeah. Okay, so again, verses 16 to 19. Let's see if I read that yet. No, I read the ones above it. So I'm gonna just go back to 13 to 15 and read that again, then continue. This is why I have asked you not to look at the world. When you look at the world and fear it with the passion of belief, fear travels through you to all things seen and unseen. Fear becomes a basis of communication, because fear was put forth with faith and desire. And so without judgment or partiality, that which was put forth is shared, and that which is shared comes back to you just as you have put it out. Circumstances arise through the flow of life that is you to teach what you have asked to learn. If you seem to seek fear through your focus on fear in the mind, circumstances of fear shall be given into your holy awareness. So another writing that I did with the Holy Spirit, it's not in NTI, but the sentence fits very much with what's being taught in NTI right now. The sentence was, love is giving through Spirit to Spirit that which Spirit requests. And of course there, the word Spirit represents this flow of life that we're talking about. Love is giving to Spirit, through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. So what that means is, if there is a lot of focus on worry, a lot of focus on fear in the world, well, love is going to give to those perceivers perceptions of fear, because perceptions of fear were requested through passion. You know, and if you are always focusing on how nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, blah, 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 the universe is going to give you perceptions of people not being loving toward you, forgetting about your needs, in love, because that's what you have requested through your passionate focus in your mind. And you'll hear this story, lots of people focus on the fact that if you focus on lack, what you get is the semblance of lack. But this goes much, much, much deeper than that. You know, if you focus on how unworthy you are, you know, innocent people will show up and say something to you, you know, about your hair or about your, you know, whatever, and there's that stab of unworthiness. But see, that's love, because you focus on how unworthy you are all the time, so the appearance that you're unworthy shows up. You know, so we really do want to watch what we're being passionate about, because we not only are sending it out into the world, but in some way we're going to receive what we're passionate about, because that's how love works. Love gives us what we're passionate about. And so the real question is, am I being passionate about that which I want to be passionate about? You know, how am I participating in this process? And I love this sentence 7, where it said, if you seem to seek fear through your focus on fear in the mind, circumstances of fear shall be given into your holy awareness. You see how fear is coming as a gift to the holy you? Because that's where you kept all of your attention. Verses 16 to 19. Therefore, do not look at the world, letting it tell you what to think. To make this mistake is to participate in illusions, which is not the motive you seek to have served. Be in service to your motive through the consistent service of your mind. Separate yourself from what you see in order to connect to it through right communication, which is not erroneous or sleeping communication, but communication where faith and motive are thoughtfully put together through the passionate desire for self. So here, spirit is literally saying, you know, again, to the person with a certain level of spiritual maturity, it is much better for you to spend as much time alone as you can now in contemplation than it is to be out there in the world. You know, so pay attention to your life. Where can you say, ah, here's an opportunity to go back alone and be in contemplation. I don't need to be involved in this. I don't need to be involved in this. And start seeking those opportunities. Because if you don't seek those opportunities, again, you're going to keep reacting in the same way you've always reacted, and the world is going to keep looking in the same way it's always looked, and nothing's going to change. And if anything is going to change, you have to make the decision that's going to change by taking concentrated time by yourself to begin contemplating and begin changing the way you think, changing what you're passionate about. You have anything to say?
Somebody just coined this phrase, the discipline of serenity, and the minute they said that, I supported it 100%, but there was a lot of people that didn't support it. The people that didn't support it, they said, serenity just comes to you. And so if you're doing, if you're in your right mind, then you should be serene. But the person that was saying the discipline of serenity was saying that some sort of consistent practice has to be. There's no alternative to that, and that's how one could achieve serenity.
Yeah, you know, I always encourage self-honesty, and to me, self-honesty means, you know, like if I was going to be self-honest about what I'm passionate about, I would literally, you know, for 3 days or 5 days or a certain period of time, and I know I've talked about this before, carry around a little notebook, and when I catch myself thinking, write down what I'm thinking. I would look that carefully, because that's going to show me what I'm passionate about. And some of these people, maybe, who say that you don't need discipline of serenity, probably aren't even aware of the fact of what they're thinking about all day, every day. You know, it's possible. And you know, if I find that I'm always worried or that I'm always thinking, you know, unworthiness thoughts or something like that, then I'm going to say, wow, look what's going on in my mind. Apparently, I need to take some kind of a practice in order to shift this.
It would necessarily take a deliberate effort,
yes.
A conscious deliberate effort on the part of the individual. The other way that serenity will come, and there's no need to focus on it. I doubt that that's true, and I don't want to confirm that myself.
Well, I think grace happens. You know, grace happens, and I know. I mean, I know people who it just happened to spontaneously. We had a satsang on Sunday night, and I talked to Timothy Conway. He was a 16-year-old boy, a jock, he said, a dumb jock, I think he said, or a stupid jock or something like that. And he was out in the backyard doing calisthenics, which he said was something he did all the time. And then, boom, he just had this shift. And all of a sudden, he knew everything is God and everything is love. And that was it. I mean, just like that. It happened like that. So in his case, grace happened. But if grace isn't happening to you, are you just going to... What are you going to do? I mean, if grace doesn't happen to you in that way, grace has offered us another option through all of these teachings, right? And that other option is the discipline path. Yeah, the practice path, the focused effort path.
Potentially, you could be waiting a long time.
You could be waiting a long time. Yeah. And, you know...
For serenity.
For serenity, yeah. Why do that? If maybe, you know, you could, you know, put a little effort into it.
You can help things along. That would be my vote.
Well, that really speaks to me about, you know, what we're passionate about and engrossed in and whatever is being put out there and it's going to come back. I really can see that and understand it, and I believe that happens.
Yes.
So if we do the opposite and make a concerted effort to look for serenity and put serenity out there, then it will come.
Yes, and we're putting it out there. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win situation.
Yeah,
there's nothing to lose.
It's going to be a gift for us, but it would be a gift because we're putting
That's right.
And that excites me.
Yes, me too. Yeah, it's a win-win situation. So I'm very happy to start each day in contemplation. I'm really very happy to do that. And I can notice the difference in myself if I don't, if I get out of it, if I start my big temptation thought, the one that leads me away from contemplating every morning sometimes, is the thought that I'm too busy, that I have too much to do, and I start thinking about the people out there that are waiting for me to get back to them on this or that or this or that, and then I'll say, well, today, instead of going directly to contemplation, I'm going to go directly to work. And then the next day, well, okay, and I keep trying, and then I start trying to catch up on the work so I can contemplate. And the more that I get into that, the more I start feeling the stress is coming back, and also the busier I get. When I make the decision, you know what, no matter what, contemplation comes first, and I contemplate until I feel I'm done. Like every day there is when I contemplate, there is this done feeling that comes. Like that's enough for today, you know, right? And so if I contemplate until I'm done, whatever that done feeling comes, and I do that first, the entire day runs more smoothly. You know, so to me that's just absolutely important that I do that, and I'm very, very happy to do that. Okay, so I'm going to read 16 to 19 again. Therefore, do not look at the world, letting it tell you what to think. To make this mistake is to participate in illusions, which is not the motive you seek to have served. Be in service to your motive through the consistent service of your mind. Separate yourself from that, from what you see. Separate yourself from what you see in order to connect to it. I love that. See how you're separating yourself in order to connect? Separate yourself from what you see in order to connect to it through right communication, which is not erroneous or sleeping communication, but communication where faith and motive are thoughtfully put together through passionate desire for self. Be at peace in your mind through consistent practice of desire through motive. Silent remembering is the way. Let your mind focus on the heart, and your mind is focused on true desire and true motive. Let know thyself in love be communicated on the current of life through you and through your passionate love for all things. So sentence two is a favorite sentence of mine. Silent remembering is the way. You know, so I need to spend enough time in contemplation each day that I then remember as I go throughout the day to stay in silent remembering. You know, whether I'm in conversation with someone, whether I'm working on a work problem, a work challenge that needs to be worked out, whether I'm grocery shopping, shopping for clothes, walking the dog, you know, it doesn't matter. I can physically be doing lots of things besides sitting in contemplation. But when I'm physically doing all those other things, I want to be in that silent remembering. I want that to be where the focus of my mind is. And the way I set myself up for that is by taking that contemplation time every day. Right? That sets the stage so I can stay in silent remembering throughout the day. It's really, just mathematically, it wouldn't be helpful if I spent an hour in contemplation every morning and then the remaining 14 hours or 15 hours of the day thinking grievance thoughts and hate thoughts and, you know, just mathematically that's not enough. So I need to take that hour and extend it throughout the day with silent remembering. Sentence five. Do not be distracted by old messages that are brought back to you. They are but images of the past. Smile at them, seeing beyond the circumstance that seems to be to the current of life. Let me read that again. I lost something here. Smile at them, seeing beyond the circumstance that seems to be to the current of life that is Christ. Set your message on the current in grace and trust, and your message shall be given back to you through the grace of all that is. So what this is saying is, You know, even now, if we are making this decision to change our focus and to be passionate for God or passionate for love or passionate for awakening or passionate for service or passionate for trust or, you know, whatever we're choosing to be passionate for, we know in the past we've been passionate about other things. We all know that, right? And so some of those other things are still on their way back to us. And so this is saying when those things show up, realize that's all they are. And don't let them knock you off kilter. Is that the right statement? Knock you off center, right? Realize this is coming to me because of how I used to be passionate. And choose to stay passionate with Christ, passionate with trust, passionate with acceptance, passionate with service, passionate with your desire for awakening, whatever your new passion is. Choose to stay passionate with your new passion, even when the appearance of your old passion shows up. Don't let it knock you off. Lots of people will say, how come that happened? I've been, you know, thinking about nothing but Christ. How come that happened? Well, you've been thinking about nothing but Christ for 3 days, but hell, what were you doing for the rest of your life? You know, that's why that happened. So it just makes sense. If you really understand how this works, it just makes sense. It's kind of like a mechanical process, you know, and you already put that input out there, so the output is coming back, right? And that is the end of NTI Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read the last paragraph again as a closing. Do not be distracted by old messages that are brought back to you. They are but images of the past. Smile at them, seeing beyond the circumstance that seems to be, to the current of life that is Christ. Set your message on the current in grace and trust, and your message shall be given back to you, the grace of all that is. So the assignment then, I would say, would be to do our best, to be passionate, and everybody will have to choose their own passion, but do your best to be passionate about something that I want to say is wholesome or helpful. And when you catch yourself being passionate about something that's kind of wrong-minded or not helpful, then just gently switch your passion to the thing you chose to be passionate about. So maybe the first thing you need to think about is, what do you want to be passionate about? You have to make that decision first. And then once you decide what you want to be passionate about, then you have to follow through. But when you notice you've fallen into old habits, choosing at that moment to take up this new habit. And the more you take up the new habit, the sooner it will become a real habit, you know, where it's just happening on its own. So I will stop the recorder and we can sit in silence for a bit.